A classic for sure. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Here on this Wednesday, Predators with a little time off before the playoffs begin. We say hello now to Max Hurst, who you have heard all year long on the pre and post game and the intermissions. He's done a fantastic job. I always enjoy in Jack Daniel's Barrel House when I can hear the words "Preds win" and the crowd goes wild. Max, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Chase. The thing I take the most pride in about hosting those games is all the people who get to hear me in the bathroom at the game. That's always
nice. Well, and they see my face and Joe's face, so there you go. That's another story for another day. So the Predators are kind of in a wait and see now, and I know they're going to practice some, but how beneficial do you think it is to have, you know, what could potentially be a full week off between games and starting the playoffs?
Yeah, I feel like it's been almost exclusively advertised as a negative in terms of the way it's been talked about, but I think there are definitely positives to it. The practice that the team had last Thursday, I'm making sure I have my days of the week right, last Thursday, in between the game where they clinched the playoffs on Tuesday at home against the Jets, and then the weekend back-to-back that they swept that started in Chicago. It was the first time in what felt like forever that they had had two off days in a row that didn't include a Sunday. So, like, it was really kind of a deep breath time for the team on Wednesday. They had clinched the night before. And then Thursday, they got after it, and they did basically every drill that they have in their arsenal. They did every single aspect of their game. And based on what Barry Trotz said to Jared on our station last night in his interview, I think they're going to do that and even more today. And last week, a very fun part of the post-game shows on the road, and I hope the late-night people who get some of these games listen to this. When the team goes on the road, sometimes there are reporters who, like, they're just there to go into the visiting locker room and get a quote or two.
Yeah.
And some of them produce very funny answers because these people have no idea what does or doesn't make the opposing coach or players tick. And sometimes they just don't even know how to ask a question. But last week on Friday, after the Predators beat the Blackhawks in Chicago, Brunette was talking about having rested players. That was the game where Saros didn't travel, where McDonough and Nyquist didn't travel. And an out-of-town reporter followed up on that, like, we need a little bit of rest comment from Brunette just to make sure we're in the right place. And the reporter kind of goes, I think half is a joke, so no more battle drills in practice this week. And Bruno was, like, offended, as he should be. And he goes, no, that's part of our team identity. And I absolutely loved it. But that's the type of thing they'll be doing this week.
Talking to the great Max Hurst. Max, how was your return to Pittsburgh?
It was great. I had a great time. Got to see some of my friends, which was awesome. It was my first time covering a game there. And I'm from there, as you said. But my attachment to hockey in Pittsburgh is much more to the Igloo, which was an iconic classic NHL venue, and not as much the new place. But of course, I still follow that team closely. It was great to be there, and it's great to be in the booth with Pete and Hal, which is an opportunity that I never had before, and I hope I get to do throughout the playoffs here as well.
All right, so at the trade deadline, the Preds acquired several guys, and besides the stars we know of, the O'Reilly, Yossi, and Forsberg, who's one guy, Max, they picked up in the trade deadline who you think is going to be invaluable in the playoffs, a guy that just is going to bring so much, maybe take them to the next level? Is there one guy that sticks out with you that they picked up?
I think Zucker fits into that class of the O'Reilly, Schenn, Nyquist offseason type acquisitions in terms of veteran guy who is an incredibly well-liked player around the league, fits in really well in the locker room, and also he's a sandpaper guy too, which O'Reilly has some of that, and of course that's Luke Schenn's entire game. But to have a veteran who's who's a middle six guy and ends up in the net trying to come back in that game on Monday night and ends up with the 10-minute misconduct for abusive officials out of it, which I, I still don't even know what happened, but like, it's stuff like that in a game where they've already clinched. Like, this guy is a massive part of the group right now. And I don't think you can overlook Bevilier either, especially if the Preds play the Canucks, who were his employer at the beginning of the season.
How quick do you think, Max, the hook will be on Saros if he doesn't have it? I mean, and you know, the playoffs, you know, you're not guaranteed another day for the most part. How soon will there be a hook for him if he, like, two goals given up in the first 5 minutes of a game?
No, I don't think he would be pulled in a game unless it's a wash. And any time he were to be pulled, there would be no question that he would start the next game. As good as Kevin Lankinen is, there would be no situation where they'd go to him.
Okay. But do you buy, Max Hurst is with us, do you buy into, and you know, I know I've asked Andrew Burnett this, that you do have to have both guys because it's a long, hard road to get to the Stanley Cup final and to win the Stanley Cup. You know, we've seen it. I remember Pittsburgh a few years ago used both goalies. And you remember when Thomas Vokoun was with them, you know, that he had some moments. So how important is it to keep Lankinen fresh just in case he's ready to go? Because you might have to go to both guys.
Yeah, it's an extreme luxury that they have a backup who is, first of all, a really good backup and arguably one of the best, certainly one of the three best backups in the NHL, along with whichever of the Bruins goalies you want to call the backup, and Anthony Stolarz from Florida. I think Lankinen is probably second behind, I guess, Ullmark is the backup in Boston, which is insane because he won the Vezina here. But, I think Lankinen is number two. And they made a decision at the trade deadline. There are teams that would have wanted him. He probably would have been the New Jersey Devils starter if they could have found a way to get him the rest of the season. And instead, they had to ride Jake Allen and Kaapo Kähkönen, which was an absolute disaster. And the Devils are cleaning out their lockers today. So they decided to keep Lankinen, which I think was a great move. He started five games since then. He went 3-2, and he won the team some really important games, including a road shutout win against the Florida Panthers, who are probably the favorite to win the Eastern Conference going into the playoffs. It's sad to think about because Lankinen's been so great, but he is a free agent this offseason. I imagine there are teams that see him as at least a 1B and would want to give him a contract, hopefully for his sake, with multiple years of term, which he had 2 1-year deals with the Preds and decided to stay this year rather than test free agency last summer. So, this is just me singing his praises, but to answer your question, yes, it is unbelievably valuable that they have him, and that's a big part of the reason why they decided to keep him, because they knew that they have a chance to go deep in the playoffs here.
Max, sorry.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, hey, Chase. Sorry, buddy. Hey, Max, how does this look? They're going to play Vancouver. How do the Preds match up with Vancouver?
We actually don't know, Joe, that they're going to play Vancouver.
Hypothetically, go ahead.
The Preds have not played the Canucks since before New Year's, which I think is fine because the Canucks have not seen the current Preds. But if I can go back again to what Barry Trotz said yesterday with Jared, pretty similar teams, which I think speaks well to the Preds because people have been praising the Canucks all season. But two teams with two head coaches in their first full seasons. Rick Tocchet became the Canucks coach late in last season. Both teams are fast. Both teams are pretty deep. Both teams are physical. And now that Thatcher Demko is back for the Canucks, both teams have their goalies going too. So I think the area where the Preds have the potential advantage is experience. A lot of that experience is not with the Preds for a lot of the Preds players in the playoffs, but that doesn't make a difference once you get there. So that's a big part of the reason why I thought this was the most favorable matchup for the Preds going back over a month. We are a Stars win over the Blues tonight, or even a Stars overtime loss to the Blues tonight, away from being able to lock that in, Preds Canucks first round. So I think it would be a lot of fun. And I think the Canucks will end up winning the awards that the Preds have people who most deserve, and we won't know the winners of the awards until after the playoffs. But Rick Tocchet is the heavy winner for Coach of the Year, and Quinn Hughes is the heavy favorite for the Norris. I think if it were to be just based on the second half, and maybe the entire season too for Andrew Brunette. I think he's the coach of the year in the NHL. And if you're to just look at the second half, I think Roman Josi has been the best defenseman by far. So that adds a little bit of head-to-head flavor, which is fun. But no, I think it would be a lot of fun. Obviously, they have one previous playoff meeting, so that's some fun history that will come back up here in the 25th mm-hmm. anniversary season for our fans. Vancouver's a great city. Obviously, it's far away, which stinks, which makes it hard for our fans to get there. But no, I think it would be a really fun matchup. I think it would be more fun in every way than Dallas, to be honest with you. So let's hope the Stars don't get punked by the Blues tonight.
Well, Max, appreciate it as always. It's going to be a fun ride, and we will be catching up with you usually on Mondays, talking through all of it. So appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And thank you, Joe, for my weird intro. I'm not offended by it.
Okay.
I don't know what he's talking about, man.
You called him weird. That's what he's talking about.
We're all weird, man. I know. We're all weird. Love you, Max, more than you'll ever know.
I said I'm not offended. I love you, too.
More than you'll ever, ever know.
Thanks, Max.
Thanks, Dad. I mean, Joe.
Max Herz joining us here on the program. All right. Joseph has a rant. When we come back, I have no idea what this rant is
about.
Well,
it's about travel. And just let me tell you, I'm sick and tired of this. And I'll tell you what it is when we come back.
Yeah, I just did it on Monday. So I look forward to this. Chase and Big Joe here on this Wednesday. Let me tell you about Nashville Super Speedway in the city of Lebanon. Join them on Saturday. Speedway on the Square this Saturday, April 20th, from 1 to 6. Big Joe will be there from 1 to 3 in downtown Lebanon. Stop and bring the family for a day filled with inflatables, face painting, balloon art, live music, and a ticket giveaway to the Ally 400 NASCAR Cup Series race at 3:30. Check that out on Saturday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.